Hi, welcome back to the show.
It's September.
It is. How is it September?
Do you remember?
Ooh.
The 21st of September.
It is amazing to me.
I wish it was September
1st. It's I can't believe it.
How
August
quickly
is gone. You will sing and then Sarah will just start dancing. Like you guys rehearsed this. Like it's choreographed.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I have to. Especially
remember?
To that song. Come on.
That's a good one.
It's a good song. Nobody's doubting the amazingness of that song. I am doubting that it's September, although it says it right here on this computer in front of me.
It's crazy.
So I guess it's true.
I reject it.
2020.
You want to go backwards?
I hate August.
Okay,
but this August wasn't bad at all. Really,
yeah, this was one of the better Augusts.
Yeah, I just would like a little bit more time.
What would you do with it?
Sleep, probably.
Sleep in September.
You're young. You have all the time in the world.
I'm tired, though.
You know, I tell that to my daughter. Like, you know, now she's doing her residency at Bound University Medical Center, long shifts. I'm tired. That's life. Like,
okay.
Who's not tired?
But those I can say from my best friend going through med school and residency and a lot of family members, that is next level tired going through residency. So
yeah.
All the respect to her.
Yeah.
So doesn't that
that's the norm. You're tired. Okay, get used to it. That's life.
Doesn't that then make you, Sarah, feel guilty for saying you're tired when you're not going through that?
Yeah, but it's still my truth, so I don't care.
Okay. That's right. You own that truth of yours.
That's right.
All right. The Cardinals added a couple players today. Gambo, you had this earlier, before the show even, that the Cardinals added a couple corners, a couple vets to the organization, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, the Cardinals made some moves today, something that they had to do when they lost Malcolm Butler. We tweeted out earlier today, about 10 o'clock in the morning, I put out that the Cardinals were going to add multiple cornerbacks. And I'll just, you know, just get to my tweet here and I'll just tell you what it was. It'd be a lot easier if I do it that way. But, we put out that the Cardinals were going to sign multiple cornerbacks within the next, 24 to 48 hours. I said, I expect the Cardinals to add multiple corners by the end of the week. If these players are veterans, they could be on the practice squad, but flexed to play in games. And here's where the hint came in. These are players who would have become free agents when released and not able to be claimed. So the two players that they added were players that were not able to be claimed for the simple reason that they got these guys and they're vetted and they're veterans, so you didn't have to really worry about that. So it is not, they weren't claimed by anyone. Now, if the Cardinals put in a claim for somebody, we don't know. They were 16th in the pecking order. 27 players this morning, I don't know if any more, but they had 27 players had been claimed by other teams. Not one of the players that the Cardinals cut was claimed by another team.
Yeah, that was weird.
Not even Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah.
Not one single player cut by the Cardinals was claimed by another team. You know, you think all these players get cut and all these, everybody's going to, sometimes one man's trash is another man's trash. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Hey, you've got trash. I don't need your trash. I got my own.
Got my own trash.
So no Cardinal players were claimed as of this morning. I don't know if anybody's claimed anybody in the last few hours. I've been doing a radio show, so
no.
I don't know. But the Cardinals did go out and get two veteran players that they expect will be able to help them depth-wise.
Yeah, so you get Rasul Douglas and Antonio Hamilton, and these are guys with a lot of experience. Douglas has played 60 games over the last 4 years in the NFL. Hamilton has played 57 in his career, but 45 over the last 3 years. And so those are, as you've been saying all week before we even knew who the players were, you're not going to go out there and get some guy that's like, all right, this is your number one corner. But you probably just got probably your number four and five corners for this season.
But isn't that what you wanted?
Yeah, no, that's exactly.
I mean, what did you want? You wanted a fourth and fifth cornerback.
A fourth and fifth cornerback with experience.
Yeah. Did you get that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, this isn't, we're not singing Kumbaya here because of the two guys that they signed. But they signed two guys that have experience. I mean, they got two guys that have a lot of veteran experience. So, Rasul Douglas has played a lot. I mean, he played 78% of the snaps for Carolina last year. 78%. Had a decent year. Hamilton, he's a guy that's got a lot of experience. A good special teams player, Hamilton. He was really good for the Giants, but he's got a bunch of games under his belt and a couple starts under his belt. So if your goal was to get a 1, 2, or 3 cornerback, that was unrealistic.
Yeah, it was unrealistic. That's a trade. The only way.
Right, that's a trade. If a team even wants to make a trade.
I don't think they would at this point.
No, I don't think so either. So if somebody was thinking, man, the Cardinals really got to land a number one or number two cornerback, it wasn't going to happen. That wasn't available. That was a pie in the sky. What they got was what they needed. They got depth. They got experience. They got a fourth and they got a fifth cornerback, and that was good for them. That's what they need. Now, these guys, will be on the practice squad, but you are able to take two of those guys each week and flex them onto the roster. So there's a very good chance that one, if not both of these guys, will be flexed onto the Cardinals roster for game day Sundays. A very good chance that at least one of them will be flexed.
And you've got the first game coming up here in 11 days against the Titans. You know you're going to need help in the secondary against the team with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown. And then the following week, what is it, Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen with Minnesota? And even after that, Jacksonville's not great, but they can probably throw the football.
No, those first two are going to be difficult for sure. I mean, Jefferson was such a dynamic receiver last year, and Adam Thielen is really hard, really difficult. And then you look at, Julio Jones and Brown. I mean, it's tough matchups. I mean, it is. What you're hoping for is that you're going to get pressure on the quarterback this year. I mean, I saw something today. Let me see if I can get to him about Chandler Jones. Like, what a good year Chandler Jones could have. I think I included it in my email.
Yeah, here. ESPN had it wasn't bold predictions, but it was, they did one for each team, and they basically.
It is. Yeah. Don't be surprised if Chandler Jones leads the league in sacks. That's great. Predicting potential surprises for all 32 teams. And what they said is that don't be surprised if Chandler Jones leads the league in sacks. Now, if J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones are healthy and they get pressure on the quarterback, that's going to go a long way towards helping out the entire secondary, not just the cornerbacks. But if you get pressure on the quarterback, that's going to go, it will. It'll pay big dividends for this cornerback group and the secondary group overall. So I don't know that I'm a little worried about the corners, but I'm really excited about Byron Murphy. He's had a great camp. He's ready. He's ready to be a top cornerback in this league. He was really good last year, and he got his feet. So he's got 3 years of experience under his belt. Everybody talks about the third camp. Well, Byron Murphy's got a lot of experience now going into this year. He's got a lot of experience. Robert Alford hasn't played in 2 years, but he was a hell of a player when he did play with Atlanta. So I think you feel like if he's healthy, he's going to be able to help. And Marco Wilson, look, he'll be thrown to the Wolves, but so was Byron Murphy a few years ago when Patrick Peterson was suspended for 6 games. You got to do what you got to do. He's a talented kid. He's very athletic, and he's going to make a lot of mistakes, but there's a lot of talent there, too. And hopefully he's not Brandon Williams. I don't think he will be. I think he'll be able to come in and contribute right away.
Yeah, and you know, that front seven, I mean, they should be one of the best in football. They need to be one of the best in football. That pass rush needs to be elite this year.
A lot will depend on the two young linebackers as far as the front seven's concerned. You know, fair. But you've got Isaiah and you've got Zaven, and if those guys live up to their billing, then yeah, your front seven's going to be really good.
All right, we come back. Chris Streveler is still on the roster. That means 3 quarterbacks for the Cardinals. Cliff Kingsbury explained, and we'll react to it next. It's the Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Well, one of the last images of the 2020 Arizona Cardinals was Chris Streveler struggling in that last game against the Rams. It wasn't really fair to him. He had never thrown an NFL pass, and he had to come in and win a game against a good defense to make the playoffs. He didn't, but he is still on the roster this year going forward now, Gambo. That means 3 quarterbacks with Colt McCoy and Kyler Murray making up, taking up 3 of the 53 spots for the Cardinals.
The Streveler thing is, you know, it's very easily explainable when you hear Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, it's no use me explaining it. Listen to Cliff talk about why Streveler's on the 53-man roster.
Just the ability that if something were to happen to Kyler, to have another guy who can do some of the things that we like to do with the quarterback run game and things of that nature. Colt's, 34, I believe, and so that's not really his game anymore. But we think Strev has earned it. He's played at a high level, gotten better each year, and we want him on the roster.
There you go. So that's why. I mean, Colt McCoy can't run some of the things that Kyler runs. They have an offense that's designed and made for Kyler. If Kyler goes down, Colt can run a lot of the offense, but not all of the offense. So if Kyler goes down, basically what Cliff is saying is that Colt's the backup quarterback, but we would have some plays in there with Streveler because there are plays that we want to run in which the quarterback's got to get out of the pocket and he's got to run and there's options and RPOs and things like that. And we feel better with Streveler running an RPO than we do with Colt McCoy running an RPO. And I think that's basically what Cliff is saying is that there would be plays, we would have Colt as the back. He'd be your main guy, but could you see Streveler in there for 4, 5, 6, 7 plays in a game? Absolutely. I think that's why they kept Streveler.
So essentially, if Kyler were to get hurt, they'd like to replace him with 2 guys, basically. And
Kyler gets hurt in any one game, it's Colt McCoy. If he gets hurt in a game, because you're not going to have three guys dressing on game day. But if Kyler's that next game after Kyler got hurt, then you would have two guys, and it's very likely that there would be some packages in which they want to get Streveler out there on the field. I don't think that they would. I would be very surprised if Colt McCoy plays the whole game and Streveler doesn't come in at all if there's no Kyler Murray in a game.
We'll
see if that happens. Hopefully it doesn't, knock on wood. But I would be surprised if Streveler doesn't get any action at all.
Cliff was asked today, too, are you going to have all three quarterbacks active on game day?
I wouldn't think so. Not to start. Yeah, not to start. We'll see how it progresses, but not to start.
Yeah, I mean, it's even more limited on game day. You can't have three quarterbacks active. It's already kind of pushing it to have three on the 53-man roster. But, you know, this is another thing, and this wasn't necessarily brought up in that clip, but, you know, there are more teams kind of looking at with everything going on right now, and you may just have a quarterback, you know, in COVID protocol or, you know, be a contact tracing or whatever, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, you're down to one quarterback. So there are more than just the Cardinals in terms of NFL teams that might want to have three quarterbacks.
Sure. I mean, a lot of there are teams out there that carry three, and some teams carry two, and a lot of teams just want to carry two, and then you keep a guy in a practice squad. That's an easy thing to do. And you could have done that too. I mean, you could have just carried a guy in a practice squad, but, you know, you've got to, I don't think they'd be worried about Streveler getting claimed. Again, the Cardinals had no players claimed. Nobody got claimed. I mean, if they would have cut Streveler, it's very likely they would have been able to put him on the practice squad. But not Keyshawn Johnson wasn't claimed. I mean, that one was kind of surprising to me. But look, they like him. He didn't win in the game they needed him to win last year, but it's not like the Hill situation in New Orleans, because Hill could play different positions and he's getting a lot of money. But, Jameis Winston's the starting quarterback in New Orleans, not Hill. But I think with Streveler, they just feel like there's a role for this guy if Kyler goes down, and they don't want to take any chance that he's not here.
It's funny you say that, you know, if they had let him go, that they're probably not that worried about him getting claimed by another team. But, like, if you told me, hey, the Cardinals have Chris Streveler on the practice squad, I'd be ecstatic. Because they clearly do feel like they can develop him into something. My only concern with having him is I didn't want him as the direct backup, because we saw that firsthand last year, and I want him to just have more experience at the NFL level before he's the direct backup for the Cardinals. But my biggest concern with having him is just that he's taken up one of the 53 roster spots, and yet there has to be an element of either they want him right here, or they must have felt like that he was going to get claimed. And you're saying you don't think that's it. So that is probably just Cliff saying, I mean, Cliff very clearly sees something in Chris Streveler. That has become very obvious over the last, 12 months?
Sure. I mean, he beat out an experienced guy in Hundley last year to be their backup quarterback. Now, they kept Hundley around the whole time, too, right? They kept Hundley around, but it was Streveler that was available to play every single week. It wasn't, you know, Hundley was on the team, but they didn't really like Hundley. So that's why I think they went out and they made, you know, they kept Streveler, because they liked him. I was just trying to see, like, it was a quarterback that was cut that was pretty, I think it was the Kansas City quarterback, actually played really well. Buchel, I think he played pretty well, and he didn't, like, nobody picked him up, you know, when he got cut.
Yeah.
Just, you know, there's just a lot of guys out there that get, you know, that get cut. Yeah. Buchel, here it is. The Chiefs waived undrafted free agent quarterback Shane Buchel. He was a standout through three games, 37 completions, 422 yards, three passing touchdowns, plus 10 carries and a rushing touchdown. He had a comeback game winning drive in preseason week number one, which is impressive work. He got cut. Did anybody claim him? No. It's just a lot of guys. Like, guys don't get, you know, you think all these guys are going to get claimed. It doesn't happen. Not that many players get claimed. I mean, it might be around 30 now. I know this morning it was 27. It might be 30, 35 guys totally get claimed.
Yeah, that almost makes it more strange to me, because I would have just let Streveler go and then brought him back on the practice squad, because then you still have him.
But that's what the Chiefs did. So the guy played at Texas.
Yeah.
He was undrafted. He lit it up for the Chiefs this year. He was great. In three preseason games, he was great. He cleared waivers, and now he's on their practice squad. If he was so good, nobody grabbed him. Nobody said, oh, I love this guy. This guy, I could develop it. Nobody did that.
No.
The guy was dynamite in three preseason games. He was a stud for Kansas City all throughout camp. They cut him. Nobody claims him. And now he's on their practice squad.
So much of this is timing, too, right? Because, I mean, Josh Rosen, a week and a half ago, it looks like he's done, but he gets let go in time to make an impression in a preseason game for a new team, and all of a sudden he's on that team. Whereas, you know, Bouchel, I mean, sounds like he had a better preseason than Josh Rosen, for sure. But right now he's on the practice squad. And of all the teams, like we talked about yesterday, how, you know, if you're Rosen, you are now probably the backup or going to be the backup to Matt Ryan. That's not the worst situation to be in. Practice squad quarterback for the Chiefs. Man, you're never playing quarterback for the Chiefs. Like,
no,
never.
No, but you know what? I mean, play well and just, you know, you're in the NFL. I mean, you know, you're getting a paycheck from an NFL team.
Yeah.
The pay's not bad. And you're just hoping that at some point somebody will need a quarterback and then they can sign you off the practice squad. But what's crazy, like, to me, it's just like he was a standout in the preseason. He's one of the best young quarterbacks all preseason. Like, he stood out. He got noticed. Nobody claimed him.
Get to practice. Will Greer got claimed by the Cowboys, and Cam Newton's still not on a team.
Right.
Teams don't want to switch up with quarterbacks this late in the game. I understand that. But
that's exactly what it is, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to bring in a quarterback and, you know, he doesn't know my system and he doesn't know my offense and he hasn't, and is like, the Cardinals have three practices next week.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to get a quarterback up to par? You got three practices.
Absolutely not possible.
Now, kickers, man, the kickers are nothing, right? The Lions cut both kickers that they had. So they actually, yesterday, for a time, they had no kicker.
Yeah, they don't score that often anyway.
One of the kickers was Zane Gonzalez.
Yeah, that's it.
So the Lions cut, they had two kickers in camp. They didn't like either one of them. They cut them both. So for a time, and I don't know who they signed, but they had no kicker on their roster for a certain amount of hours.
Kicker doesn't really have to come in and learn the system, right? It's a, hey, kick the ball through the uprights.
Yes. Yeah, here's what you're going to do. They're going to snap it. They're going to hold it. You kick it. Make sure it goes through.
But I haven't been on this team. That's how my old team did it. All right. When we come back, we'll take a look at the Cardinals and just the general outlook for the season. Some places are predicting, you know, hey, this maybe isn't a playoff team, even though they kind of went all in on this season. And some places are calling even that a bold prediction. We'll get into it next. Burns and Gamble on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. All right, welcome back. So, Gamble, the Cardinals haven't made the playoffs in 1, 2, 3,
5 years.
Yeah, it's been a while since pre all or nothing. So however long all or nothing's been on Amazon, the Cardinals haven't made the playoffs.
That was the jinx right there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't seem to have affected the other teams that they've done that show on. But there are a number of plays. Obviously, every football site out there now is putting out their predictions here as we head towards the season. And the one on The Athletic that is out there today is 32 bold and not so bold, I guess, but 32 bold predictions for 2021. And the last one on there is that the Cardinals will miss the playoffs. And then they put in parentheses again. They're counting that as a bold prediction.
For a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 5 years, that's a bold, that should not be a bold prediction.
No.
Maybe that's a credit to the Cardinals in that a lot of people do think that it's a playoff team. And I think the NFC West is loaded. And then the addition to J.J. Watt and A.J. Green. And look, you know what the most underrated, I'm going to see if Jordan can get this. You know what the most underrated signing is for the Cardinals?
Is it Colt McCoy?
No.
That's what Cliff Kingsbury.
I know, but it's not Colt McCoy.
The most under Rodney Hudson?
No.
Well, that was a trade.
That was a trade, and that's a big one. Most underrated signing.
I don't know. Where are you going?
They got a kicker who can make a field goal.
Yes.
Like, how many of these games come down to a field goal?
That won't be underrated in, like, 2 weeks when he makes a field goal, and we're like, he made one from 44 yards.
Like, oh, my God, with 3 minutes left in a game, he kicked a 46-yarder. Wow. We don't know what that's like.
And
you
know? It went in. Like, it went between the uprights. The last kicker could kick. It just didn't go through the uprights.
Yeah, I think that is so underrated, getting a... I mean, Matt Prater is a very, very good kicker.
Yeah.
I think that's underrated because of how many close games you play in. And, like, Zane Gonzalez just... He wasn't... It's unfortunate because when he was in college, he was automatic. And for some reason in the NFL, he just wasn't that good. He was very inconsistent. But Matt Prater, I think, is a very underrated signing. So I think it could be that people feel like, hey, the Cardinals did a lot of things with Rodney Hudson and A.J. Green and J.J. Watt and Rondale Moore. And they should be a playoff team. And this guy's saying, that's my bold prediction, is they're not going to make the playoffs.
Now, what stands out to me, and it kind of slaps you in the face if you're a Cardinals fan, the first line of their reasoning is to miss out on the postseason for the first 3 years of Kyler Murray's career would have to be considered a massive disappointment. That's the first sentence that they have. And then actually, I'll just give you the second one too. But this doesn't look like a team that's set up to take a significant step forward after last year's 8-8 campaign. The first sentence is absolutely undeniable. You cannot go the first 3 years of Kyler Murray's career and not even make the playoffs. And the first year, fine. He's coming in.
Why not?
And that team was a mess. Because, man, if he's as good as he's supposed to be, that alone should be enough to drag you to the playoffs. At least once in those 3 years. Throw the first year out. They were a mess. I mean, they're coming off a mess of a year. Second year, though, and last year, this is the one that stings, obviously. You're 6-3 and you miss the playoffs. That turns up the pressure on everybody this year.
Yeah. I mean, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, like, you know, they've been to the playoffs. So I get it. Baker Mayfield was in the playoffs. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Now Darnold hasn't been in the playoffs, obviously, with the Jets and now with Carolina.
Like Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he sat behind Alex Smith for a year. I think that was a real benefit to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, you know, hey, get to the playoffs. You've been in the league for 3 years. I'm sure there are good quarterbacks in this league in the last 10 years that did not go to the playoffs in their first 3 years. I'm sure that there are quality quarterbacks in this league that didn't get there in the first 3 years. So I know what you're saying, like you should, but it doesn't mean like if he doesn't get there, like they're gonna kick him to the curb and he's not a starting quarterback in the NFL anymore.
No, I'm almost going the other way. And I guess they weren't totally clear in which way they were approaching this in that story, but I almost feel like they were saying if the Cardinals missed the playoffs for a third straight year, it's not Kyler Murray's fault. Like, some of it is, but I almost feel like they're saying the team is doing something wrong if Kyler Murray is being held out of the playoffs three straight years. That's at least how I read that.
Listen, the first one that's going to get blamed is obviously going to be Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
I mean, he took a team that won 3 games, he won 5, and then he won 8. I don't understand the whole fire Cliff thing, right? I don't understand that yet. I understand this pressure on him, this pressure on coaches every single year. Let's not downplay that. My thing is, you know, if he had won one more game last year, they had won that Rams game. This is a moot point. We're not talking about this. I know Bickley pointed out, but he didn't win that game. And he's right. Like, he didn't win that game. So, you know, my point is, if he would have won one more game, we're not talking about Cliff Kingsbury on the hot seat. And I know Bickley countered that by saying, but he didn't win that game. So, okay, I get it. Like, I get it. It's fair. It's a good argument to have. But you got a coach who went 5 games and won 8 games, and it seems to be pressure on him this year and on the hot seat. And, I mean, I guess to a certain extent, I agree. I'm not in the corner of, hey, you got to make the playoffs or you fire him. If they go 9-8 and they lose a tiebreaker, I don't know that I'm going to be on the, you got to fire Cliff Kingsbury bandwagon if they miss the playoffs because of a tiebreaker, or they miss it by a game if they go 9-8, I don't know that I want to fire a coach that went from three, that took over a team that won 3 games, and then he won 5, and then he won 8, and then he won 9. I would still think they're trending in the right direction.
Yeah, I don't think it should be that as black and white as, like, make the playoffs or else you're out. I don't think it should be that. I think where people are going to look is, like you said, if you're 9-8, or I mean, it's possible you could go 10-7 and miss the playoffs. I mean, if you're showing more improvement and you don't make it because you're in the NFC West, I mean, then are you just firing him just to sacrifice somebody? Like, is that making your team better? But where I think that people need to see the production or the evolution is the offense. And actually, Christian Kirk talked about that today, said the offense is absolutely evolving.
I think it's evolved tremendously, and I think we know our strengths. Like I mentioned earlier about Kyler, he knows the concepts that, you know, he may not feel as comfortable with to the concepts that he is comfortable with. And, you know, I know his communication has evolved and gotten better with Cliff and, you know, being able to break down defenses and whatnot, and especially his communication with us. You know, he's texting, you know, film clips and saying, hey, I like when you do this rather than when you do that, and just little things like that has kind of, you know, evolved with him and you know, matured wise, you know, in his leadership.
That's what you want to hear. I mean, you want to see it.
You do.
Hearing it only goes so far, but that's all we can do at this point. The season hasn't started yet.
Listen, you mature as a quarterback, you realize you have to do more things. There was a lot, you know, during the pandemic, there was, why doesn't Kyler have everybody coming out to Texas? But he did. He flew guys out, and they did that, but there was that, you know, look what Tom Brady's doing. He's out at the fields. He's playing with all the guys. Like, Kyler needs to do that. You learn. You learn over time what you need to do. You learn when you're a great quarterback in high school and college that you don't just show up in the NFL and all of a sudden everything is easy for you. It's hard work.
Yeah.
You got to put in more work. It's not easy. Kyler, you want to make $40 million a year? You want a contract like Josh Allen got? You've got to be great and you got to win. You want Josh Allen money? Be great and lead your team to a lot of victories. And they'll be glad to hand you over the cash.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, if you don't make the playoffs, you may not have a happy quarterback on your hands going into next year. I was out there at practices all of that first year. And the first year, again, it was to be expected. But exactly what you just said, Kyler Murray that first year was kind of learning, wait, you don't just come into the NFL and win everything like you did
right
in high school and college. Text us your thoughts on the Cardinals' outlook for this season to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, the Cardinals have added a couple new corners today. And also, it sounds like a former corner might be weighing in on his podcast. That is next. It's the Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Well, Patrick Peterson, we saw the Instagram post yesterday when Malcolm Butler retired. Now, he's got his podcast, so he's in position. Ever since he came out with that podcast, like, that is just a content driver for the Valley.
For us.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I'd like to get to the point where it's not anymore.
Well, when he stops talking about the Cardinals, it won't be anymore. So maybe never.
I can't wait to hear his podcast the week after they play the Cardinals if he gets his ass torched. I can't wait for that.
That one will actually
Hey, you
got to
cover DeAndre Hopkins. 11 catches, 170 yards, 2 touchdowns. I want to hear that. Matter of fact, we might just play that podcast instead of like us. Replacing the Burns and Gambo show today is the Patrick Peterson podcast. We're going to hear all about how DeAndre Hopkins owned him in a football game.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's going to probably be some conversation about how difficult it was to run through linebackers and getting picked and how
Excuses?
Unfair it was for him to be picked by DBs.
What's the over-under on how many excuses he'll make if he gets lit up by the Cardinals?
Oh, so this question. More catches for DeAndre Hopkins or more excuses from Patrick Peterson?
It's a good one. It's a good one.
It's like a Super Bowl prop.
I'll go more catches for Hopkins. I think you run out of excuses after about 5 or 6.
Okay, you figure like 9 catches and probably about 5 or 6 excuses.
Man, I would just, this is tough, right? Because Patrick Peterson is a great Cardinal.
Oh, one of the best.
He should go in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, he will.
But my God, am I rooting against him. Man, am I rooting. Does that make any sense, Jordan? Yeah.
No, I believe that, yeah.
I am so rooting against Patrick Peterson. I hope he gets I hope those Pro Football Focus grades show him as the worst cornerback in the NFL.
Well, and you're not just talking about week 2 against the Vikings when the Cardinals are playing the Vikings. You're saying all season for Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, all season. But especially the Cardinal game.
And I haven't heard this yet, but Bird said it's not as like scandalous as you would hope. But this is Patrick Peterson on the All Things Covered podcast today when Brian McFadden asked him about the Malcolm Butler retirement.
Going back to where you used to be, Arizona, Malcolm Butler retiring. Looks like 21 won't be worn in Arizona this year. I don't know, they might give it to somebody else, but 21 won't be out there at the corner. And that was surprising. They said he's been away from the team for the last few days, not knowing why, but for personal reasons. And he's walking away from the game. I mean, he signed a 1-year deal. I think it was like over $3 million guaranteed or something like that. But now they need a cornerback.
Yeah.
And they won't be having 21 out there.
Mm.
Well, he really actually literally said,
How long of a delay? Play that again. Did you hear the delay before they start laughing?
Yeah.
Okay, play that one more time.
I want to see the video of it.
Going back to where you used to be, Arizona, Malcolm Butler retiring. Looks like 21 won't be worn in Arizona this year. I don't know, they might give it to somebody else, but 21 won't be out there at the corner. And that was surprising. They said he's been away from the team for the last few days, not knowing why, but for personal reasons. And he's walking away from the game. I mean, he signed a 1-year deal. I think it was like over $3 million guaranteed or something like that. But now they need a cornerback.
Yeah.
And they won't be having 21 out there.
Mm.
Oh, man. I'm going to say.
It's such a smug silence, isn't it?
It really was. I mean, he's laughing at the Cardinals. He's basically saying, I would have came back. You sign this guy and he's retiring. He doesn't even want to play anymore. You screwed up. Now, listen, right now he's got the upper hand. He's playing and Malcolm Butler's not. But if, you know, if Patrick Peterson goes out there and plays terribly, you know, you can't fault the Cardinals for getting rid of him.
No.
And if he plays really well with Mike Zimmerman, if he plays really well, I mean, maybe people will question it. I don't miss him, but, you know, if he plays extremely well, obviously it's going to be a talking point.
Well, your best move if you're the Cardinals is ideally Marco Wilson would outplay Patrick Peterson this year. But the other one, like you said, they play the Vikings very early in the season. That probably means a lot of matchups with DeAndre Hopkins. And Bird has another clip from the podcast talking about that.
Will Pat P talk trash about DeAndre Hopkins before the Arizona Cardinals game?
No, man, I don't do that.
Yeah, but that's your guy. We had him on the show.
Yeah, D-Hop's a phenomenal player. I'm just looking forward to a great matchup.
And y'all people forgetting, you guys had battles a lot. Had a lot of battles when he was with the Texans.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, man.
No
so question.
That should be a fun matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun matchup, man. You know, I know, obviously, D-Hop's going to bring his A game as he do every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking to pack mine as well.
God, I hope the Cardinals just crushing routes. Right? Crossing routes. You like Patrick Peterson is okay if he just has to stay in one area. Last year, DeAndre Hopkins just stayed in one area. Mm-hmm. That kind of plays to Patrick Peterson's strength. If you have Hopkins move around a little bit, you have him move, you know, you put him in motion, you have him cross the field. That's where Patrick Peterson is no longer capable of being a good cornerback.
Yeah, look, I like Patrick Peterson. He did a lot for this team, but I think we all want to see Hopkins just absolutely torch him in week two. And I think you're right. If the Cardinals offense is evolving the way Christian Kirk said it is earlier today, then I don't think you have anything to worry about. You like your chances with DeAndre Hopkins against Patrick Peterson. You just do. And the Cardinals should know how to exploit Patrick Peterson because they have a lot of film from the last year
and
a half.
Listen, you don't shy away from Patrick Peterson. Nobody did.
Mm-mm.
So you're not going into that matchup saying, oh, you know, we're going to go more to AJ Green and Rondale Moore because, oh my God, they got Patrick Peterson covering DeAndre Hopkins. Nobody's afraid of Patrick Peterson anymore. He draws a lot of penalties. Well, he gets a lot of penalties and he struggles. He's not very good in coverage. So that is, you know, when you look at the matchups, that's like, you want to go after Patrick Peterson. Like, you want to attack Patrick Peterson because your best receiver on Patrick Peterson is an advantage for you, not for him.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think most teams that have seen the Cardinals in the last couple of years know that, but especially the Cardinals obviously know that. And we should recap. We should close out the show, too, with the just in case people missed it throughout the day. You had the story earlier, the two corners that the Cardinals added to the practice squad,
yes,
but that will probably play as soon as week one.
Yeah, we kind of let out the information at 10 o'clock that we're going to sign multiple cornerbacks, guys that could be on the practice squad, but would have the ability to be flexed and play on game day. And they did add two cornerbacks today with Rasul Douglas and Antonio Hamilton, veteran players, especially Douglas, played 78% of the snaps for Carolina last year, played 3 years in Philadelphia, was on that team when they won a Super Bowl. He's got a lot of experience. Antonio Hamilton's got a couple starts under his belt, but he's played in about 60 games. Plus, he's a really good special teams player. That's your 4 and 5 guy. That's the depth at the spot. Now, you were never going to go get a 1, 2, or 3 cornerback, but they went out there and they got cornerbacks who were like 4 and 5. So practice squad guys for now, but guys that you can flex on game day and have them play. Now, the reason they weren't claimed by any other teams is because they're vetted. They've been in the league long enough to where if they get cut, they're free agents. They're not eligible to be claimed by another team, if that makes sense to people.
Yeah, I think it does. And, you know, it's not a position you want to be in where you're picking up guys a week and a half before the season that may have to play in that first game. But
yeah, that's the hand you were dealt when Malcolm Butler decided he doesn't want to play anymore.
Yeah. But I do think the reality is, I mean, we saw a lot of teams today picking up at least one player, and we're not seeing the Cardinals, like, we're not scrambling to pick up offensive linemen or wide receiver, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they feel pretty confident in a lot of these positions, but obviously a corner, your hand was forced. You had to do something today.
Yeah. Now, tomorrow we got a lot of coverage for you. We'll get ready for that ASU game. We'll be off a little early tomorrow, 5 o'clock, to get you the pregame for Arizona State as they start their season opener. Luke's going to finish out the week with me And then on Tuesday, he'll start his new show, The Luke and Wolf Show, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. leading into our show. So Luke with me again tomorrow and then Friday to close out the week. And then Bernsey will be back on Tuesday. Appreciate everybody tuning in, listening to the show. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 o'clock sharp, right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Have a great night, everyone.